So I used to live up in Northeast China.
Oh, great.
And I lived right across from Dandong.
Yeah, very cool. Yeah. What year was this?
When you were but in swaddling clothes, Tom.
From Recorded Future News, I'm Dina Temple-Raston. And this is Click Here's Mic Drop, an extended cut of an interview we did that we think you might want to hear a little more of. And today, we're talking to Tom Hagel, a threat researcher at Sentinel-1, who got a rare inside look at the unconventional way that North Korea is testing new strains of malware.
We see them mix and mash, smash and grab, get things done as quickly as possible.
And how getting things done as quickly as possible might just work to their advantage. Stay with us.
Hello, I'm Adam Fleming from the Global Story podcast from the BBC World Service. We are looking at Lina Khan, the face of the US government's battle to regulate big tech. She's already redefined the way we talk about monopolies. Now she's taking on the likes of Amazon and Meta. But who is she and will she win? The Global Story brings you fresh takes and smart perspectives from BBC journalists around the world. Find us wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
Politics has never been stranger or more online, which is why the politics team at Wired is making a new show, Wired Politics Lab. It's all about how to navigate the endless stream of news and information and what to look out for. Each week on the show, we'll dig into far-right platforms, AI chatbots, influencer campaigns, and so much more. Wired Politics Lab launches Thursday, April 11th. Follow the show wherever you get your podcasts.
Blockchain, NFTs, AI. What does this mean for you and me? I'm Sherelle Dorsey, host of the TED Tech podcast, where we bring you the latest innovations and biggest ideas in tech. Tech is evolving fast and it affects our lives, from the metaverse to the watches on our wrists. You'll learn why people in AI make good business partners, about our future self-driving robo-taxi, what the next generation of Siri, Alexa, Google looks like, and a lot more. Find TED Tech on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen.
I'm Dina Temple-Raston, and this is Click Here's Mic Drop. What got you into North Korea?
Well, it was just kind of the emergence of running into North Korean threat activity across the networks I've been listed to protect.
Tom Hagel works at Sentinel Labs. It's a threat intelligence outpost run by Sentinel-1. And the reason we spoke to Tom, who you may remember from Tuesday's episode on the North Korean hacking group Scarcroft, is because recently he landed a pretty huge get. He snuck into a kind of digital lab that Scarcroft and other North Korean hacking groups were using to test their latest malware. We asked him, but he wouldn't tell us, how he got inside.
This was an environment that we just kind of happened to get access to.
And it turns out North Korea has a slightly weird way of testing its malicious code. Most people test code in something called a sandbox. It's basically an isolated environment on a network. It mimics the outside environment, but because it's separate, it allows you to work with suspicious code without harming the host device or a network. It's a little like Vegas. What happens in a sandbox stays in a sandbox. And typically, sandbox testing goes down a little like this. A so-called red team will launch an attack with the new malware.
He hits it hard.
And then a blue team will try to defend against the attack. Exercises like this are a great way to ensure that the new code works, and big league threat actors like Russia and China tend to spend a lot of time in the sandbox, making sure everything works just right. But when Tom was tiptoeing around inside North Korea's digital environment, he noticed that its vetting process wasn't nearly this sophisticated and buttoned up.
Do we know if they have red teams and blue teams?
Yeah, you know, it depends how you look at this, because technically all the stuff we're talking about here is all like red teams. they're going outbound and attacking elsewhere.
In other words, North Korea is heavy on red team attacks, but pretty light on testing the blue team defenses.
Rather than going through a rigorous testing environment to make sure things are controlled and locked down, it tends to be a little bit more kind of fly by the seat of your pants rather than whatever the phrase is to kind of get the project done and working.
Right. So they're more quantity than quality.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say so.
The way Tom sees it, North Korea appears to be impatient. It wants to get any malware they've written up and running. So, rather than audition their malicious code inside a sandbox...
A lot of that testing just happens to be done in the wild.
The wild, where the rest of us are, in the real world. So it's less of a test and more of a very hard launch. And this, Tom says, is one of the things that sets North Korean hackers apart from other threat actors.
I wouldn't say they're as sophisticated as the Chinese cluster of threat actors. What they lack in broad expertise and like vulnerability developments that China has, North Korea possesses such a high level of creativity in different attack methods.
That hurry up and break things mentality of North Korean state hackers means that they're much more nimble and strike much more quickly. But it also means they make a lot of mistakes. The kinds of mistakes that allow researchers, like Tom, to slip into their testing environment and watch them work.
You know, that's how ultimately what allows us to track them so well and kind of attribute them to multiple campaigns.
But that's not to say North Korea is sloppy. They do what a lot of workers do in autocratic regimes. They keep a lot of metrics to prove their worth. This is what's working. This is what isn't working.
They're constantly reading cybersecurity blogs and news to understand what other actors are doing.
And learning from their experiences and those of others.
This is going to be an incredibly naive question, which is, how do they get good at this? Do they have like high-speed internet? Do they have something to train these people?
There's a lot of mystery around it and a lot of potentials. There's no public evidence of this happening yet, but we do see some potential collaboration with the Chinese government to house these individuals and train them within China. There's also a very strategic education program in North Korea to provide them access to the internet, to develop skills, and to operate externally. But there is the case of collaboration with North Korean allies for sure. A lot of it's kind of like we're just really trying to figure it out still on where this expertise is coming from and the creativity.
Like nearly everything coming out of the Hermit Kingdom, those details are something the regime insists on keeping pretty locked down. From Recorded Future News, this has been Mic Drop. It was produced, written, and edited by Kat Shuknecht, Lucas Riley, Sean Powers, and me, Dina Temple-Rustin. We'll be back with an all-new episode of Click Here on Tuesday. Have a great weekend.
Looking for more of the cybersecurity and intelligence coverage you get on Click Here? Then check out our sister publication, The Record, from Recorded Future News. You'll get breaking cyber news from reporters in New York, Washington, London, and Kyiv, among others. And you'll see for yourself why it attracts hundreds of thousands of page views every month. Just go to therecord.media.